Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're in the 14th chapter of Matthew, katamathion. We're teaching the Gospel of Matthew from the Greek language, and I'm using the Nestle-Allen text, actually. The title of this message is A Guilty Conscience. A Guilty Conscience. Now, I've always said in the past that a clear conscience is the best companion. A clear conscience is the best companion you can ever have. But here we have a man with a horribly guilty conscience. A guilty conscience. The man was wrong, and he knew it. And yet circumstances that he put himself in were just horrible. Now let's go and look at this message. In a kaino, to kairo, akousin, herodes, ho tetrarches, tain akuein esun. In that day, the season, the word kairo, it means season, it's not time, it's a season. He heard Herod, the one tetrarch. Now, the word tetrarch means a king of a fourth. A king of a fourth. Tetrarch. And the news, the report, the hearing are the stories of Jesus. He heard the stories of Jesus. Politics were very important in this day. There were several groups. Of course, the Romans. Romans are ruling the place. From the Roman government, Pontius Pilate was a governor of the area. Herod was a king of the fourth, a king over one fourth of his father's realm at that time. And we have the Herodians, that's Herod's group. Herod was not a son of Jacob, he was a son of Esau. That's the real problem. This is not the king that should have been on the throne. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, should have been on the throne of Israel. But Anthony and Cleopatra put Herod the Great on the throne, and Herod did a lot of building, a lot of things. In his time, he did a lot of building. He built Caesarea, that harbor on the Mediterranean, which was like one of the wonders of the world at that time. He built Masada, or the Herodian, and he built the great temple in Jerusalem. Now, Herod, he had a group after them, the Herodians, and the Herodian guard are the ones that guarded the temple area. And they are the ones that arrested Jesus, was the Herodian guard. And those are the ones that actually guarded the tomb where Jesus was buried with the Herodian guard, not the Romans. The Romans were watching the Herodians. Now we have the Sadducees, which were basically atheists or agnostics. They were politically very powerful in the day. And we have the Pharisees. We have the Zealots. Now, the Pharisees were what we call the Orthodox Jews today. Excuse me. And they were the ones that had all their phylacteries and their little hats and their long sideburns and so on and so forth. And they were, Pharisee means to be separated. They were separated from all the rest of the people because they thought they were better and more holier and higher. We have the high priest. We have the Levites. And the Zealots. The Zealots were a political group of people that were assassins. They called them the dagger men, the Sicarii. And Judas Iscariot was of the Sicarii. They were assassins. And Simon the Zealot. Zealot means the Sicarii. And then later on, we have another Simon that was a Sicarii. He carried the cross. So we have these political factions in Israel. Now, the Talmud and the Mishnah are what we call commentaries on the Bible. Commentaries on the Bible. Now, to the Pharisees and the Levites and the priests, the Mishnah and the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud and the Mishnah, carried more weight than the Word of God, and that's why Jesus told them that you've made none effect the Word of God with your traditions, the Mishnah and the Talmud. So we have Herod hearing the news, or verbal history. Now you have to realize that Galilee, by the way, was the crossroads of the world. That was the crossroads of the world. Everybody, anything that happened in that area, they knew about it all over. So Jesus was, there was a lot of stories about Jesus, some of them true and some of them false, but all of them knew one thing, that Jesus was a miracle worker. Now Herod had a guilty conscience. Herod had John the Baptist on the brain, you might say. Kai epain tois pausin autou houtos esten ewanes ho baptistes autos egerte apo ton necron kai dia tuto hai dynamis energusen en auto. And he said to his servants, to the one's servants, literally to the courtiers, his court, all of his servants belonging to him, this one, he is John the Baptist. And that, by the way, there were a lot of people named John back at that time, but we have here Ioannes ho Baptiste, he is John the Baptist. He is. He was raised. Now, he's got this on his mind because he did something very terrible. Now, Herod used to listen to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist preached to him hard. Now, I don't know whether you've listened to Dieter Wolf Bergstrasser, Dr. Dieter Wolf Bergstrasser's sermons out there on sermon audio that I put out just in the last, I think, almost 30 of his messages. He was a hard preacher, and John the Baptist was a hard preacher. He spoke with authority and with power, and he cut no corners. He cut straight through their hearts, and he cut straight through the heart of Herod. And we're going to hear a little bit about this. And because of Herod's guilty conscience, now he thinks that Jesus is John the Baptist been raised from the dead. From the dead ones. He was raised from the dead ones, and because of this, the gigantic, powerful deeds, these powerful works, miracles, they are being energized and operated by his ability. John the Baptist not only was raised from the dead, but now he's doing miracles. And he thinks that Jesus is John the Baptist being raised because he's got a guilty conscience. Now, Herod was married to his uncle Philip's wife. Herodias was married to her uncle Philip. And her other uncle Herod took her from Philip. A double incestuous situation here according to the law of Moses. Now, he'll tell us a little bit more about this. Ho gar Herodes kratesas. Ton uanon. Uanane, that is. E de sein al ton kai en philake. Apatheto dia Herodidia. Tain genike philippo tu adelpho altu. for the Herod, having seized John, he bound him in shackles. That's what it says there. He bound him in shackles. Now, if you really look at this situation, Herod put John the Baptist in what we call protective custody because his wife was very close with the Sicarii, and they killed people. They were assassins. And he expected any day for Herodias to have him killed. So he put him in protective custody because it says in other places that Herod liked to hear John preached. There's only one problem with John, with Herod. Herod didn't make any movements to repenting or asking God to save him. He heard him preach. He heard John the Baptist preach. And it affected his heart. Except he said no to God. He said no to God. Now, when Jesus went before him, Pontius Pilate, he did not want to condemn Jesus to death. He knew him. He was for him. He was against the Herodians. He was against the Pharisees. He was against the Sadducees. He was against the Sicarii, of course, because they would have killed him if they could. And he stood up for Jesus and protected him as much as he could. And he sent Jesus to Herod because he didn't want to be responsible for his death. He said it was under his authority because he was from the authority over Galilee. Now he bound John. Now the word auton there, that's in brackets, so it's really not in the Greek language, in the original language, but it's understood as a practical substance, if whether it's there or not. He bound. And he bound John, as he was talking about. And in prison, he put him or placed him away because of Herodias. Because his wife would have killed him. The wife of Philip. The brother of him. His brother. Now, this story here tells it like it is. He put John in prison to protect John from Herodias. Verse number 4. Elegain garho wanes auto ka uk existen si ekain autain. For, now look what it says here in verse number 4. For he kept on repeating over and over and over. That word elegain there, that's third person singular and perfect indicative active. He kept on telling John, the John kept on telling Herod that not it is lawful for you to have Herodias. You can't have her. Now if you go back in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you'll find out why. He said a man's not supposed to marry his brother's wife while his brother is still alive. Because he's uncovered his brother's nakedness, so he has disgraced his brother and he has committed a sin of incest. Now if his brother had died, and he didn't have any children, he could have taken her and had sex with her and brought forth a child in his brother's name. But this isn't the fact right here. This isn't what's going on. Verse number 5. Kai thelon auton apo ketene apo bethe ton uklon hote hos prophete auto ekon. Now, and he kept on wishing him to kill. But he feared the crowd. Now the word oklon there's at least 5,000 people in that crowd, 5 to 10,000. He kept fearing this great crowd because, as a prophet him, they kept on hearing. And they kept on having. They kept on realizing that John was a prophet. They knew that he was a great prophet. Herod knew that he was a great prophet. Verse number 6. Genesiois. De genomenois. Tu Herodu. Or ke sato. He thigater. Tes. Herodias. En to meso. Kai. Mesain to Herode. Now here we have a disgraceful thing. One of the greatest actresses in America, her mother had trained her to be a prostitute. What was her name, Marilyn? She was a Jewish woman. And many times the Jewish people in different nations in Europe, the women would be courtesans, very highly intelligent, like artists and actresses and singers, and they would be attach themselves to some ruler, and because of that attachment as a courtesan, as a high-class prostitute, they could get favors for their people. What?
Bernhardt.
Sarah Bernhardt?
Yeah.
Anyway, we see this happened many, many times. Now, this woman had trained her daughter in dancing and singing as a courtesan, as a prostitute, a high-paid prostitute. Mary Magdalene was one of them, and I know a lot of people think that she wasn't, but she was. She was a courtesan, a very high-class courtesan, a very well-educated, beautiful woman, and involved in politics of her day. That's what these people did. And here we have her daughter that has been trained as a prostitute. Now, she would get up and they would dance. Now, these like these belly dancers and things, they would get up and they would incite, sexually incite people. And let's see what it says here. And this is what the story behind this is. This woman is basically had been trained by her mother to be a courtesan, and for this purpose. I don't know how old she was here. She might have been 14, 15 years old, whatever. But she was a beautiful young woman. And having occurred of the Herod, his birthday having occurred, his day of generation, what it is Genesis. And she danced for herself, is what it says here, the daughter of Herodias, in the middle of this great banquet. And she was pleasing to Herod. He was all excited. He was wild with passion. And this is what he said. Hothen meth orku homologason alte dine ha eon ite se te. Now, Mama had trained this girl for one purpose. She's going to get to this man. She's going to get to John the Baptist. She hates John the Baptist. Herodias hates John the Baptist. He says that she is a loose woman. And here we have the queen. The princess is a loose woman, is a adulteress. Now, Jesus said later on that she was an adulteress, as he talks about marriage. And from there, with an oath, an orku. Orku there means to fence oneself in. Herod fenced himself in. He constrained himself with an oath, with a public oath. And he promised to her to give whatever she might ask or request for herself. And Mama had trained her. Verse number 8. Salome. Mm-hmm. Instructed by Mama. Hey de probibastesa. Hipotes matros. Matros. Altes dos me. Faisen. Hode. Epi. Pinaki. Tain. Kafalain. Iwanu to Baptistu. And having been instructed. Look at that word. Prosbibazo. Having been, had written instructions. She has written instructions. By the mother of her. To give to me, she says, here. Right here. Upon a platter of pinaki, the head, the tain kafalain, iwanu, of John the Baptist. I want the head of John the Baptist on this platter. That's what I want. She could have got up to half of his kingdom. She could have got an eighth of the kingdom. But she asked for the head of John the Baptist. She could have had anything she wanted. A brand new chariot, brand new horses to drive her, slaves. But she wants the head of John the Baptist on a platter. On a serving platter. Into the banquet. Now these banquets would go on for a week. You have to realize that. So every day this woman's dancing. Now I don't know whether she's giving favors to men or Herod, but this is what she's doing. 14 and verse 9. Kai li pethes. Ho basileus, dia tus oracus, kai tus sina akemenus, ekleison dothene. And having grieved the king, he is sad. Having grieved him. That word lupe there means to show great passion of sorrow. Herod is extremely sorrow. He's been that way. And he's going to be that way even months later. He's going to still have a guilty conscience because of what he has to do. Because in a moment of passion and lust, he has told his girl he's going to give her up to half of his kingdom. What does she want? He is so well pleased. And having grieved the king because of the oaths, his oaths, him fencing himself in, and the wands laying up at the table with him, they heard it. He commanded and he ordered to be given. Verse number 10, Kai Pamsos, Apakaphalesen, Ton Iwanon Ente Thalake. And having sent, he took his head off. Apokaphaliso. He had his head removed from his body. Now, by the way, he wasn't crucified. He wasn't stoned to death. He had his head chopped off. And by the way, that was what they considered the most, what we call compassionate, capital punishment there was, because a guy doesn't suffer long when he has his head shut off, chopped off. Done. Over with. Crucified and stoned and strangled to death and burned alive, that's what they did. You know, they had several ways. The Jews had several ways of having somebody killed. Capital punishment. One of them was stoning, where they would dig a hole and they'd throw stones down. They tried to hit him in the head or her in the head, the first stone, and they'd pound them in their bodies and crush their chest and kill them with these stones. Another one there is that they went out into a cesspool, made the person sit down there or kneel down in this cesspool, this hole where everybody threw feces and urine in. And they would take a rope, two men would have a rope and they'd put it around the person's head, and two people would hold his arms out and they'd strangle him to death. That's another form. They actually beheaded people occasionally if they thought it was more merciful. Or they would take a wick of kerosene or some type of coal oil or oil, and they dip a rope in it, and they cram it down somebody's throat, and they light it on fire, and they would suffocate in the flames. That's called burning. That's what Judah was going to have done to Tamar. These she-devils. Now he has him beheaded, his head removed from him, in this prison, in this falake. There's where he was locked down. That's what it means to be locked down. 14 and verse 11. The she-devils. Kai and Nekse, he kafale altu epi penaka, kai edothe, to korosil, kai enaken, te materi altes. And it was brought and carried the head of him during this big feast now. Can you imagine? This is Herod's birthday. He's been all sexually aroused and excited by this young girl dancing before him. He makes a stupid, unwise oath. And now his birthday is not quite as joyous as it was before. And now, the prophet that he loved to hear, except that he didn't put anything to work in his life over it, now the head of that man that spoke those powerful words is now brought into his presence. And he must have shuddered as he saw this gruesome spectacle. And it was brought in the head of him upon a platter. And it was given to the maid, the Corosio. And she brought it to the mother of her. Kai proselfontes, hoi mate autu es eron to patokma, kai ethopson auto kai elfontos apongalion tu esu. And having approached the one's disciples, the disciples of John, they took the corpse, the toma, the corpse, or the body, minus the head, and they buried it. And having approached, they reported, they messaged, that word apongalion there is like gospeled, they from messaged what happened to Jesus. They told Jesus what had happened. What a story. Let's go back and read this from the Amplified Bible. At that time, Herod the governor heard the reports about Jesus. And he said to his attendants, his slaves, his courtiers, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. And that is why the powerful and performing miracles are at work in him. For Herod had arrested John and bound him to stow him out of the way, to put him in prison on protective custody on account of and for the sake of Herodias, his brother's wife, Philip's wife." It doesn't say Herod's wife, does it? He really had no right to marry her. "For John, he had said to him, 'It is not lawful or right or permitted for you to have her.'" Leviticus 18:16 and 20:21 is where John was quoting. "And although he wished to have him put to death, he was afraid of the people, for they regarded John as a prophet. And when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced in the midst before the company and pleased and fascinated Herod. A whole lot more than that. And he had promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she might request, and this was up until half of the kingdom, we read in other places. And she being put forward and prompted by her mother, this is written instructions, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist right here on this platter." And the king was distressed and greatly troubled and sorry because of his oaths. And his guest, he ordered it to be given to her. Now they had to send way off with his head. He's off in the prison. And he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought in on a platter and given to the little maid. This tells you that she's young. She's a beautiful, seductive young girl. And she's done exactly what her mother trained her to do to the little maid, and she brought it to her mother. And John's disciples came and took up the body. They buried it. Then they went and they told Jesus. What a story. A story of betrayal. First of all, Herod had betrayed his brother because he stole his wife. His father had taken other men's wives. And Herod the Great had the wife that he loved so much, he had her put to death. And then he mourned the rest of his life because he believed that she was committing adultery while he was gone. So he had her killed and mourned over till the day he died. He was absolutely obsessed with her. And now we have Herod, the tetrarch, doing the same thing. He's obsessed over this woman, Herodias, and over her daughter. And his life is turned upside down because of them. He should have listened to John the Baptist and put her away. Mm-hmm. And apologized to his brother. And repented of his sin. And called upon God to forgive him. But he didn't. Now when Jesus went before Herod, as he was sent there, Jesus didn't say one word to Herod. Not a word would he answer him. Herod already had the gospel presented to him, and he had the command to repent. For the kingdom of God is near, and here is the king of the kingdom, not Herod. And Herod no longer had an opportunity. Because they already had heard the gospel. And Jesus didn't say, "Herod, repent. Herod, you killed John the Baptist. You know you were wrong. You should have repented." He didn't say one word to him because he had already heard it. He already got the message. He was beyond the point of no return. I pray that if you're out there, you hear the word of God, that you will not reject it. That you will listen and you will obey. And I pray, Father, that you send this message out by way of the internet, that they'll hear it all over the world. These she-devils of a long time ago plotted together to kill a man of God. They got it done. Father, but you know that that they have been told on ever since. We just read in your word how that you showed them through Matthew that those wicked deeds were done. They were done nearly 2,000 years ago, and the story is still being told of their wickedness and their wicked ways. Father, I pray for those out there, my students, that you'll touch their hearts with this, that you'll help them to follow you the best that they can in their lives. I pray for those that have no Christian company around them. I pray for those in the Far East that is against the law to even speak your name or pray to you. Father, I pray for those that you touch their hearts, you comfort their hearts. I know that they live in constant fear of their lives. Father, I pray that you protect them and that you touch their hearts with your word. Even though they're behind an iron curtain of Christianity, this message can still get to their hearts.